testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey. Rejoicing the heart, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey.
Title for us to have a look at and discuss this evening, and that is, are you with Joshua and Caleb? Are you with Joshua and Caleb? Now, we all know the events, the story of this, how they were sent with the spies, the elders from each of the 12 tribes of Israel were sent to search out the land of Canaan and to see what was there. And we know also the report when they came back. But we're going to read some things in this just to refresh ourselves and remind ourselves of what we're looking at and studying this evening. And we're going to take this from the book of Numbers, chapter 13. The book of Numbers, chapter 13. And I want to take it up from verse 26. Numbers 13, and taking it up from verse 26. Now they departed and came back to Moses, and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran, at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan." Then Caleb quietened the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are strong than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. Then we saw the giants, and the descendants of Anak come from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." And I'm going to continue with this in chapter 14 through to verses 1 to 10. And here is where the children of Israel, after hearing that report, refused to enter into the land of Canaan. "And so all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, 'If only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to the land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?' So they said to one another, 'Let us select a leader and to return to Egypt.' Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh were among those who had spied out the land for their clothes. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, 'The land we pass through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them.' And all the congregation said, 'Stone them with stones.' Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel." Well, quite an event going on here, as was often the case with the children of Israel. But here is the major turning point of this nation. A vast nation is brought out, as we know, from Babylon, from Egypt. They're in the wilderness. They've been several years now, seeing all the miracles, seeing the provisions of Almighty God. And now they're on the brink of entering in into their sonship, into entering the promised land. And the result of the elders that went with Joshua and Caleb, because they spoke negatively, they spoke of what they saw. So they're speaking in the carnal, they're speaking out of fear, out of unbelief. The children listen to them and begin to rebel, begin to murmur. And not only that, they want to stone them, get rid of them, and raise up a new leader. And not only that, out of their mouths they were saying, "Wish to God that we stayed in Egypt, or we stay in the wilderness," instead of moving on and facing all of that. You know, we do that sometimes, and it's only the grace and mercy of God that protects us. You see, the children of Israel had a chance to repent. They had a chance to get it right. We know this because it says back in verse 6 of verse 14, "But Joshua the son of Nun, Caleb the son of Jephunneh, were among those who had spied the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we pass through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Listen to this faith speaking. Listen to what they're saying. Their protection has departed from them. That is their faith speaking, because they believe in Almighty God. And the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And did the congregation listen? Did they listen to what they were saying? Verse 10 tells us, and all the congregation said, stone them with stones. In other words, we don't want to hear any more. We've had enough. We've heard it all before. Enough. And of course, the glory of the Lord then comes down to deal with this, like he does. See, God will deal with rebellion. God will deal with unbelief. God will deal with fear. God will deal with the negative, with the wrong confession. And he does this now through the Holy Spirit. But we note, and we know, that Joshua, Caleb, had another spirit about them. They were different. They had the spirit of faith about them. They believed God. In other words, they were a type of overcomer. And even though the children of Israel, they perished in the wilderness, which is what happened, Joshua, Caleb, who were of another spirit, who were of faith, God said, I will raise a new generation out of them. And of course, we know later on, Joshua was raised up in which to go in and enter that promised land. But that hindered Israel. It hindered her blessings. It hindered her for the rest of about 38 years, wandering aimlessly, just perishing in the wilderness, going nowhere. And that is what happens when we go back, when we refuse to continue to allow God to challenge us, to present new experiences, spiritually pressing in. This is what happens when saints no longer want to continue to walk. And sadly, we have seen many over the years who in many ways have committed what the children of Israel had done through fear and unbelief, through hardness of heart. I'll go elsewhere. We'll stone our leader. We'll listen to another. We'll join another church. We'll put ourselves under a different ministry. We'll go and listen to what we want to hear. You see, God never ministers to us what we want to hear. And you've got many out in the around who will minister to that, to self. God always presents to us what is impossible in the natural. And that is what makes it God. And if you find your walk is impossible in the natural, then I can assure you that is God. If your mountains, your giants around you are impossible in the natural, I can assure you that is God. And he makes no mistake over our lives and our trials and our circumstances. The same was God was making no mistake over the children of Israel. It was tailor-made for them. But equally, he was testing them. Because God has got to get his Joshua and Calebs for the last day. Who are of the right spirit. Who are making the right confession. Believing the right things. That is what he's looking for. Now, the test was to do with their inheritance. And this was, of course, based on their faith and confession. And your trials and my trials are all designed purposely for our inheritance, destined for the throne of God, as the bride is making herself ready, being prepared for what lies in the future and ministry. That is the nature of the deeper life in which we're preaching. And we see these similarities. Because Israel failed her sonship, Israel failed her destiny, God's plan for her, we tend to think, well, it's all put aside, because as Israel is put aside until she's restored in the last days. Well, that spiritual congregation which Israel was is now the congregation that stands upon the rock of Jesus Christ. Jew, Greek, bond, free, whoever. But the plan of God is still going to be fulfilled. And he's doing it through the church, through the overcomers, and through these last days as we stand. You see, we like the idea of the promised land. We like the idea that it's good, it's flowing with milk and honey, and tasting the grapes, which of course they brought back. They bought a huge amount of grapes. It took two men to carry all these grapes on a rod. Very nice. But the problem was, it was the mountains. It was the giants. It was the size of the trials. It's the mountains that challenge us. Now, those giants, those mountains, are to do precisely that. They are to challenge us. And they are designed in their challenge that we decrease, that Christ increases. That is the nature of your trial. Or the trial you went through last week or last year, or the trial that you've even gone through today, or you're facing over a season. The trial is in nature that you decrease. That is the nature of our trials. Yet we personalize our trials. We make the trials become our trials, my trial. It isn't really your trial. Yes, you are going through it, but really it is our trial, because Christ is going through that trial with you. So it isn't just about you. It is also about Christ, the one who is in you, who has overcome all things, including that trial you're going through. So it isn't really your trial, it is our trial. It is a trial that is shared. That is what is so wonderful about these trials in the Christian life. We're not left alone. It seems like it, but we're not. And this was, of course, what Joshua and Caleb were trying to get over to the children of Israel. We're not on our own in this. He made it absolutely clear. He said, don't rebel against the Lord. Don't fear the people. Their protection has departed from them. The Lord is with us. Do not fear them. So Joshua and Caleb, insight, revelation, that their power had departed from them. The same with us. Satan's power has departed from your life. He can't destroy you. And yet, when he roars, we fear and we run away. We see the same analogies working there thousands of years back, still the same, because God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So yes, our trials can vary. And they're big trials. They're getting bigger. The giants are getting bigger. But you know, one of our greatest problems is we can't intellectually understand it or control it. And that still goes on with us. We're still more dependent upon our minds, our intellects, to try and understand this. And you never will. And we see what happened with the children of Israel. They intellectually tried to understand it. They went by their logic, by their intellect. And their intellect and logic said, let's stone these leaders. And as a result of it, they perished. And Christians do exactly the same. Because they won't let God renew their minds. They're not presenting themselves, Romans 12, 1 and 2, on the altar. They're not allowing the Holy Spirit to give them that discernment and understanding. We have said many, many, many times, and we continue to say it, you will never intellectually understand this walk. It is revelation. It's as the word is illumined to us. As God reveals the deeper secrets, the mysteries hidden in his word. And it's as we assimilate that and take that in, that is what feeds the heart, the inner man. Our knowledge, my knowledge, your knowledge comes from within the spiritual heart of man. It doesn't come from the mind and the intellect. Paul made that absolutely clear to the Corinthians in chapters 1 and 2. And yet we still feel secure by it. We still feel secure when we can understand a thing. And it's when we can't understand it, we then react. Can you understand giants? Can you understand mountains? No, because it doesn't make sense. It goes against everything that intellectually I try and understand or assimilate. If I'm facing a financial trial, my intellect says, go and borrow money. Build up debts. That is what logic, intellect says. And always with logic and intellect, you will find fear and confusion is connected with it. That is how the devil snares one in that way. And the devil was snaring the children of Israel right there, catching them in a web. They were their own worst enemy there. And we do the same. And we hear it come out. We hear the confession come out. We confess what fear, logic, unbelief is saying. And yet we are being taught that we harmonize our confession with the promises of God's word. Sometimes you may say, why is it I can't confess God's word in a trial? Why does this unbelief for what I'm seeing or feeling or hearing still come out? Well, it's because you don't want to change in that area. You don't want in the natural to feel out of control. You want to be in control. And God is so weakening us and working with us so that we are getting out of control. The children of Israel, when they heard that report and what God was about to do with them and then going into the promised land, they weren't in control of this. This was God, what he was going to do. We know this because I've read it already to you, what Joshua Caleb said to them. God was preparing the way. He was weakening them. He was showing that their protection had departed from them. The preparation was taking place. But they couldn't accept that. They couldn't believe that. Because that fear in them held them in their logic, their emotions, their feelings, what they were seeing, what they were hearing, smelling, touching, tasting, and so on. We still can be so governed by those senses. And yet we find they so let us down. And eventually we will get it. It starts to drop from the head to the heart. You say to me, well, why hasn't God given up on me? I've made such mistakes. I don't understand all of this. Well, brothers and sisters, that's why this title is this evening, Are You With Joshua and Caleb? Are you of another spirit? And you will only know that by staying with it, enduring to the end. So if we're here tonight, continuing, listening to this teaching, then that's a clear encouragement to us that we are of another spirit, that we are with Joshua and Caleb. But don't ever try to understand this intellectually. God doesn't want us understanding intellectually because we will control it otherwise in our own strength, in our own pride. Now we know, we've said this before, but we'll say it again in passing. Of course God uses the mind. Our brains, our minds are created for him. And that's what he's restoring. But God has a way in which he gives us knowledge, understanding, wisdom. And he imparts that in and through the Holy Spirit. There is the difference. And that is how we're being taught in these last days, praise God. And so to move by faith, very often we find we're completely out of our depth. When we move by faith, we take steps of faith, whatever it would be, we are always completely out of our depth. And the reason being is because none of my senses are needed. My intellect, my logic is not needed. None of all of that is needed. All that is needed is my faith, my belief, my childlike faith in God, his love, his promises. That is all that is needed. And keep the rest out, because you complicate it. It is only God's word and these promises, as we partake of them, as we read about them, we exhort you in them, because we know that faith comes by hearing the word. That's all that you need, because you are of another spirit. We know we're of another spirit because we're justified by faith and we walk by faith, just like faithful Abraham. God doing exactly the same with him. God wanted to do the same with the children of Israel, but they wouldn't have it. They were hard-hearted. They were stiff-necked. What does that indicate? They were proud. They were arrogant. They were not teachable. And if we stay with God and we endure to the end, he's going to deal with any of that that is in us, so that we walk by faith and that our faith can remove these mountains, these giants, these obstacles. Because we're not allowing our intellect, our logic to get in the way. Because if we do, fear will always be attached to that. It always is. Because fear makes you go back. Fear makes you confess that wrong confession. And we are still, sadly, in the assembly, confessing those sicknesses over ourselves, because I hear it. I hear it come out. And that's why we pray one for another. That's why we pray when we hear these confessions coming out. My sickness, my cold, my flu, my cancer, my disease. Is it yours? Is that what Christ did? Is that what he achieved? Going to Calvary? Giving up his life? That by stripes we were healed. What an insult to throw that back at him. And yet we do it, don't we? And this is what the children of Israel were doing. Unbelief keeps us bound. It keeps us bound in the world. It keeps us bound, relying on the world and its provisions. That's what it does. When there's unbelief and there is fear, it will always get you looking to the world and relying on the world and its resources. And why are we relying on all of that? The whole lot's being shaken. God said in the last days, I will shake the heavens and the earth. And judgment's beginning first in the house of God. Why are we putting our faith, our trust in all of that? Doesn't make sense. And yet we find that we do. And the reason that we do, there's still that fear, that unbelief. You see, those provisions keep us reliant on them. That is the nature of these provisions, the world. It is so subtle that it keeps you relying upon them. It's like a drug. You keep going back for more because you feel secure by it. But it is a lie. And that is what God is delivering us. That is what he's delivering FGA from. Where we're still running back Every time we see a giant, we see a mountain. We go running back. And that fear is attached to it. And the moment it seems when God is highlighting that trial, that area of our life, we react. Well, brothers and sisters, we just have to stay with it. And we have to decide, are we with Joshua and Caleb or not? Because we have all the promises. We have seen what Christ has done at Calvary, how he has dealt with the powers of darkness. He has dealt with Satan. Now we either believe it or we don't. And I can pretty well guarantee that a lot of the problems is still with the mind, the intellect. Those doors are not yet closed. We still want to be in control. We want to be in control of our lives, our destinies, our future, our planning, you name it. We want to be in control. And all the while that is still going on in us, you will not be a man or woman who will really walk by faith, because it is a hindrance. And to be in control is like a drug. You want more and more and more of it to be in control. And God won't let it. The only way is to starve it. The only way is to keep your mind upon God and upon his word. And to stay before God in prayer, intercession, till these doors are being closed into the mind, into the logic. Where the word of God is becoming your source, your strength. Your belief. Where no longer are you seeing those mountains, those giants. Yes, they're there, but they're not affecting you anymore. It's like water on a duck's back. That is how Jesus walked. Jesus was able to hear what his Father was saying to him. We can only hear what our Father says to us when we're no longer believing the things of this world and being influenced by it. Then we are open to hear what the Holy Spirit's saying, how he wants you to walk, where he wants you to go today, who he wants you to pray for, and so forth. That is how Jesus walked, and that is how the overcomers will walk in these last days. The greater works before the Lord comes. I am convinced of this. So God is watching how we stand. How we stand in these trials. You see, these trials prepare the heart. And that's what's so wonderful. Your trials that you're going through is preparing your heart. It's working this deliverance in you. So that you can walk by faith. That is the nature of these trials. Because these trials so often deal with the heart, deal with the emotion, deal with the affection, deal with the confession, where our faith is. And what is that? It's deliverance. And so, if you can stay with this, and not make the mistake that the children of Israel did, then these giants, these mountains, are your deliverance. That is what they are. Although they're big, they're impossible. They can't be triumphed in the natural. Stay with it, because God is going to use those for your deliverance, for your change of heart, change of mind, change of actions. Now, only God can do that. All things work together for good to them that love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. All things, including those giants, those mountains, and so forth. Israel couldn't see that. She was stiff-necked, rebellious, proud. But the humble see that. Those who keep their knees bowed before God, they see that those giants, those mountains, those trials are working deliverance in me. What is this deliverance? This deliverance is from relying on yourself, your own mind, your own logic, your own independent spirit of God. That is this deliverance. And when we come through that trial, we often find that we experience and see God in a fresh, a new way that you hadn't seen him before. Why? Because you had to be cleansed. God had to deal with things in order to see a greater revelation of him. His love, his provision, his protection. Israel was refusing the revelations of Yahweh. All they could see was themselves, their own lusts and what they wanted. We know that because they wanted to go back. They had had enough. They wanted new leaders. Let's get rid of them. Complete rebellion. And does human nature change? No, it doesn't. So, we all of us have to be on our guard, brothers and sisters. But these trials, what we are going through, they are preparing us. They are so designed in nature, and they're so right for you. And they are working that deliverance in you so that you can walk with that simple, childlike faith, not questioning, not answering, not rebelling. You just know that God will do it. You don't even question how or why or when. You just know he will do it. And the world around you will know that he's doing it. Your family will know that he is doing it. God is producing such great testimonies through us. We just at the moment can't see it. Because he's going to glorify himself through the sons of God who endure and stay with it to the end, who qualify for this, for the last days. We are spiritually on the brink of entering in into the promised land, spiritually speaking. It's all there. The promises are all there. God's provision is all there. You needn't be anxious or concerned about your provisions. God providing, God protecting and looking after you. It is all there. But he's going to work this and work this and work this with us until it drops from our heads to our hearts. And wherever we're still compromising, and sadly we are, he is not going to slumber nor sleep. He is going to be alert 24/7 And he's going to work, and he's going to keep reminding you, and he's going to keep bringing you back, bringing you back, bringing you back, until no longer can you intellectually understand it. It makes no logic or anything. In the end, you just raise your hands up, Lord, I let go of the lot. It's become nothing but a hindrance. These things that we still hold on to are going to get heavier and heavier and heavier and heavier until we are only too pleased in the end to throw them away. God knows how to do it. Why do I say all of this? I know this is challenging, because God loves us. And he wants us to enter into this promised land. This is what is going to glorify his name. He wants you to have a heart like Joshua and Caleb. He wants you, when you see those giants and you see those mountains, he wants you to speak of his promises, his provision. I am well able to overcome all of this. But you see, faith will say that. Unbelief will say, I'm well able to overcome this. Now, how is God going to do this? How are we going to work this out? You've missed it. There's the unbelief. Faith just simply says, that mountain is removed in Jesus' name. That giant is destroyed. And the rest is all up to God. It's not up to you, because the battle is not yours. It is the Lord's. It takes a lifetime, brothers and sisters, as I bring this to close. I know we don't get this overnight, but God will not slumber in this. He is on the move. God is very serious now. He's moving very, very close in with the overcomers and with FGA and all the saints who are going on with the Lord. He's moving in very close now. He is expecting faith from us. He's no longer going to pamper us and baby us. We are growing up into sonship. And the Spirit of God is moving with this. Don't any of you get left behind. Stay with it. Stay with what he's saying. Stay with his word. Keep with the meetings. Keep in prayer and intercession. Keep in the word. And you will see that God will do this, because he is the master builder. You're not. I'm not. And we're very, very blessed in this assembly with what God is giving to us now in these last days, what he's showing us and preparing us for. I cannot thank God enough. And I know, because I have been in denominations. I had a lot of religion in the past. And they're kept in bondage, so much of these people. But you are not. God has brought us into wonderful pastures with wonderful provisions, wonderful protection. We are so mightily blessed in FGA. Sometimes we lose sight of this. And the future that we have before us, well, as the word of God says, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, again, we have been enriched this evening. Father, you have given us the meat of your word. And we know that faith comes as we hear, as we read this word, Lord. And we are standing on the brink of a major breakthrough spiritually. O Father, let none of us be caught moaning, belittling you. Let none of us be confessing that wrong confession. Help us, Lord, to be able to see your bigness, your greatness, so that these mountains, these giants, just become insignificant. And that's all it is. It's just our eyes, our hearts totally set upon you. Father, forgive us, Lord, when we doubt you. When we start griping and moaning. We know that we are to go through much trial and tribulation to make it into the kingdom of God. You've clearly shown that over the years. But Lord, you are showing that these trials are to prepare our heart. These trials are our deliverance. And so much of that deliverance is from ourselves. And so Lord, we thank you for this. Thank you tonight for our fellowship. Thank you, Lord, for bringing brothers and sisters into the room, wherever they may be. Lord, ever bless, preserve and keep them. May they shelter under the shadow of the Almighty always. Be with them when they go out and when they come in. Father, keep them from the evil one, from sickness, disease. And may they have that confession that glorifies your name. For this we ask in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
I will lift up my eyes to the hills from where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Slumber nor sleep. The Lord, He is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon.